Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, listen, many of y'all know that that right now up in D.C., they are wrangling over budgetary matters. And there's a lot of talk about what is a continuing resolution, what is a debt ceiling increase. Will a government shutdown occur? Because apparently that is a possibility. Anytime there's not a budget passed, you can have that as a possibility. It's happened in the past. But what does that mean for us? And where are we right now? Well, there's actually machinations going on the floor of the House as we speak. And yet, right smack in the middle of it is Congressman Gary Palmer, who has stepped out right now to take a call from us and come on the air live. Congressman Gary Palmer, how are you doing?
I'm good, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Listen, I'll just cut right to it. What is the latest? Because we understand that y'all are voting in the next, 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah, should be voting in actually probably the next 10 or 12 minutes. But we've worked out an agreement with President Trump, and I don't know how many Democrat votes we'll get, but we're about to bring up a package that will need 293 votes. So we're going to have about 80 plus Democrats vote with us. But what it does is it extends the debt limit, increases the debt limit by $1.5 trillion. And we've conditioned that with the agreement with President Trump that we're going to enact savings of $2.5 trillion. And as I did an interview earlier today with Bloomberg Television, and I pointed out to him that we're sending out almost $240 billion per year in improper payments. If we eliminate that over the next 10 years, that's $2.4 trillion. So when people think, well, you're not going to be able to find savings of $2.5 trillion, I mean, I just told you where $2.4 trillion are. The bill will also include the disaster relief. It'll also include some relief for farmers and continuation of the current farm bill out for another year, which our farmers have gone through a very difficult last couple of years with the drought and the storms combined. So these are things that I think are workable. It's just a matter of whether or not we get enough Democrats to vote with us.
So, Congressman, let me ask you, because obviously the Republicans have a mandate right now, and the Republicans have a very, very, very narrow majority. I mean, you're going to have, I know you're going to have some Democrat buy-in on whatever you vote on, but how do you, and I understand why President Trump's calling for it to a degree, but how do you address the question of increasing the debt ceiling when we have 36 trillion? How do you alleviate people's fears and concerns about that? Because it just feels like we're putting more on the credit card at that point.
Well, the way we have to alleviate it is that your options are to not increase the debt limit. And people have to understand, we're not in the majority in the Senate right now, and Joe Biden is still in the White House. So our options are extremely limited. So our options are shut down the government, don't pay our military, and we're having a very difficult time right now with recruitment. We're under recruitment goals in every branch of our military. And they just can't, young families just can't afford to be in the military. So that's what the options are. There's 31 more days until Donald J. Trump is sworn in. There's 14 more days until we have a majority in the Senate. The debt limit, we hit the debt limit 7 days after, I think, on January 10th, the date, I think, it's after we get the majority in the Senate. But we still don't have someone in the White House that will sign whatever we pass. So I hope you understand the difficulty of the situation that we're in and trying to avert this. And if you don't extend the debt limit or increase the debt limit, what you wind up with is the our bonds are downgraded, and that increases the amount of money we have to pay in interest. I've had this discussion with the budget chairman, who's asking me to come back on the budget committee, about how we can do things to collateralize our debt so that it stabilizes our bond ratings and it makes and it brings down our interest payments. But I'm telling you, there are ways to do this, stuff that I've worked on almost from the first day I got here. And it's the first time that we're going to have an opportunity to actually make it happen, because we have a president in office who is going to demand that it be done.
Yeah. Well, and I hope that's true. And I recognize too that a lot of folks aren't taking into account, and I'm not trying to just, you know, create the discussion here, but there's a lot of folks not taking into account that the debt ceiling that you have right now expires early next year. And everybody knows that the Democrats will then use that as a leverage tool. And so I'm assuming that the debt increase you're putting on goes past the spring of 2025 and gives you guys breathing room so that they can't use this in a minority to try and leverage what they want out of legislation. Is that correct?
I'm not sure exactly how far out it goes. The date is determined by the rate of spending. And I pointed this out to the budget committee chair, that if we just did a 1% cut across the board of all agencies except defense, that extends the date. But that's not what President Trump wants. He wants a much longer extension, because he doesn't want this to be what shuts down our ability to get anything done on securing the border, on the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. He's going to be able to do a lot of stuff through executive order in terms of regulations, but I've got 20-something Congressional Review Act bills to eliminate regulations that will save us a lot of money. So there's just a number of things that I'm not sure people fully understand. It's almost like people think because we had a really good election, Trump got elected, we got the Senate, that they think we're there now. But we're not. This is the epitome of a lame duck session.
Well, it is. It's a lame duck session with high stakes. Let me ask you this. There's been a lot of talk about Elon Musk having influence. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it doesn't really influence what I do. I mean, I don't know that he's been in any meetings. The meetings this morning were with J.D. Vance and our people on the House side. But we'll see. I was in a meeting with Vance and Ramaswamy a couple of weeks ago when we had a smaller meeting before they met with the full conference of Republicans and laid out some things for them that they didn't know about. For instance, they weren't aware that we've already gone through an efficiency-type effort, and it was led by Al Gore, of all people. It was called the National Partnership for Reinventing Government. You may remember that. But by the time they completed it, at the end of the second Clinton term, they had eliminated over 426,000 civilian federal employee positions and shut down, I want to say, over 200 federal agencies.
They did.
So we've done this before. That's what people need to understand, and it's what I was trying to get across to them. And it was led by a Democrat administration, so they can't come out and start crying that we're taking away people's jobs. This is not new. We can do it. We've got to have the leadership willing to do it. And I think that's what you've got in Trump, and that's why he put Musk and Ramaswamy in charge of it.
I agree with that completely, and I think that is going to happen when the day comes that we can get everybody in place to do it. With where we are right now, you know, there's a comment that was made, and I might play a clip on it later. Former Speaker Newt Gingrich pointed out that he said it took allowing the government to shut down to get Bill Clinton's attention, and they did it. And I want to say they were the shutdown lasted almost 30 days. So if this vote doesn't go through today, if this vote doesn't go through today, do you anticipate that there will be a shutdown, or we all stay in and keep wrangling, or is it going to be a recess?
Well, I don't see how we can recess. 1201, the government's out of money for all intents and purposes. Now, they agencies have reserve funds. That's another thing I'm going to be looking into, and I've been raising this issue for a long time, that there's hundreds of billions of dollars sitting in agency accounts.
Yes.
A huge amount of it's in unobligated funds. So they've got some money. The thing is, though, is you don't pay congressional staff. You don't pay the military. Now, in terms of services, the essential services like law enforcement, U.S. Marshals, things like that, transportation safety people, Border Patrol, they remain on the job. But everybody else is, but they're not getting paid. That's the problem.
And that was with about a minute and a half left before we have to go to the break. Let me just ask you, so that was a question that was raised earlier. The NDAA passed, several days ago. So that did not include military pay. So military pay would be curtailed if the rest of the CR is not passed.
It does include a big pay raise. But when you go into a government shutdown, you don't get paid.
Okay.
And I've already instructed my chief of staff, if we go into a shutdown, to instruct the paymaster not to pay me, because if we're not going to pay our military, if we're not going to pay our staff, I'm not going to get paid.
Well, and I appreciate that, and that's honorable, and thank you very much. Well, listen, I know you guys are due to vote momentarily, and the Democrats are, I guess, keeping their cards close to the vest. We don't know what Hakeem Jeffries is saying about his crew yet.
No.
Okay.
The Democrat who's on the Financial Services Committee, I guess their ranking member, has come out in opposition to the bill. So,
and
I'm telling Phil, I got the bill 10 minutes ago. It's 2 pages longer than the one I read yesterday, but I think it's basically the same bill. But I'm hearing now that they may have pulled the debt limit out of it. I don't know how that impacts things. So,
where is
I'm watching, I've got it on the television. The floor debate's going on right now. So.
Well,
I think it'll conclude in a few minutes.
Well, I know you're gonna have to get to the votes, but let me just ask you a last question. I know that the Freedom Caucus was largely opposed to where things were. Chip Roy, Biggs, and several of the others, are they on board now with the I guess I'd call it Plan C?
Well, this morning in conference, the members of the Freedom Caucus that went to the microphone all supported it.
Okay. Well, that would be a whole new day. Well, Congressman, listen, in case we don't talk to you, Merry Christmas to you, and thank you for the integrity of saying I won't be taking my pay if no one else can. And just let us know, keep us posted, and we'll announce it on air as things progress, okay?
Well, I appreciate it, Phil.
All right.
You do a great job. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you. Take care now. All right, I ran long. That was great. I mean, the guy is literally watching the debate. And he's about to go to votes. But we got a lot of stuff to talk about here, a lot of stuff to unpack about what he just said, a lot of stuff that some of y'all may care deeply about and want to know more about, and I guess that the question of military pay was also answered by the congressman himself. All right, more to come. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.